Good morning, church. We're going to continue with Jonah. Today we are in Jonah chapter 3. So would you please stand as we read Jonah together. All 10 verses of Jonah chapter 3 on a count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone who calls on God, let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Please be seated. Well, a couple of years ago, one Sunday afternoon, after a long Saturday and then a long Sunday morning into the late afternoon, I left church, leaving work, you might say. I was really tired. I really wanted to get home and lie down. So I left here, turned left, and I thought, I got to do two more lefts, and then, long way around. Never mind, Sunday afternoon, no cars, right? I decided to do a right-hand turn. Now, most of you will know that there is a no-entry sign across that road. Well, Sunday afternoon, okay, ma, right? Lo and behold, the moment I turned right, there was a whoop, whoop, and a blue light in the back. Like, oh, no. A patrol car had appeared out of nowhere, apparently. So I dutifully turned. Went to the side, wound up my window, and two policemen came up and say, so I explained, asked, hey, do you realize you made an illegal right-hand turn? Yes, sorry. They said, where did you come from? I came from church. They looked at each other, they whispered among themselves, between the two of them, and then they said to me, sir, okay, we'll let you go this time, okay, but don't do it again, because very dangerous, you know, the illegal right-hand turn, okay? Okay, so thank you. Oh, drive home. I was very appreciative of a second chance. Don't you appreciate it when you get a second chance like that? When you make a mistake and say, oh, you shouldn't have done that. And then you get let off and say, with a warning. Second chances are always welcome. Jonah was given a second chance. He had run away from God. When God said, go, he said, no. When God said, go, you were supposed to say, yes. But Jonah made it abundantly clear his answer was no. He went as far away as he could from this destination that God told him to go to. He had no intention whatsoever to fulfill the mission God had given to him. In fact, he'd rather be thrown overboard to die in a watery grave rather than obey God. But yet, God did not kill him or leave him to die. God gives Jonah a second chance at life. So instead of a watery grave, he lands up in the belly of a fish. God saves him through a fish and leaves him there to marinate for a few days in fish gastric juice, 3 days, 3 nights, the Bible tells us. Eventually, Jonah yields and then he submits to God, and he grasped a second chance at life. The big idea to say is God offers second chances, but you have to accept it.
on his terms.
God offers second chances, but you have to accept it on his terms. So how does one accept God's second chance? Let's be guided by the account in Jonah chapter 3. So the first thing we note about Jonah chapter 3 is that Jonah returns. Well, in chapter 1, he runs away. In chapter 2, he runs into God, literally. God stops him in a storm, stops him from killing himself. He runs into God. And in him being running into God, Jonah wakes up to his senses while in the belly of the fish, and he decides that he would submit to God. Instead of running away and then running into, he would now run with what God had for him. He submits to God. He goes with God. He chooses, okay lah, give in lah. After a determined heart not to, he finally figures, I guess I really should. So when he expresses his decision to yield to God, God hears his prayer, transmits a command to the fish, and the fish vomits Jonah out on the beach. So Jonah submits, God transmits, fish vomits. After submitting to God, chapter 3 begins and it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh, proclaim to it the message I give you. And then it says, Jonah obeyed the word of God, the word of the Lord, and went to Nineveh. When he's vomited up on the beach, he hears the word of the Lord, it says, a second time. Now you might say, maybe this is a bit redundant, like, you know, after all the trouble to bring him, save him and all that, stop him, then save him. You might say that's a bit redundant to say, hey, you should wake up, you realize, you know, right, you're running away from God, you should go back to obeying him. But God gives him a second chance, not only at life, but a second chance to obey by speaking again. Same instruction, go to Nineveh. Tell them what I tell you. A second chance to obey. An opportunity to make up for messing up big time after he submits. God offered back to Jonah his role. God didn't demote him. God called him, be the prophet you are called to be. Take this message to Nineveh. So we have Jonah's colossal failure, and yet God pursues him to give him a second chance at life, and then a second chance at his mission. Some of us in life have failed monumentally. Sometimes that failure and that disaster is because of our willfulness. Sometimes it's just out of neglect. These monumental failures we might experience in our marriage, in our relationships, in our parenting, in our ministry, in mission, in our integrity, the work that Mark Che is working to build. When we backslide from God, these are monumental failures in our lives, failures to make us hang our head down in shame, bow our heads in guilt. Jonah failed. Jonah failed in his relationship with God, and Jonah failed in his mission first time round. He didn't want to do it. How God responded to Jonah is how God responds to us in our colossal failures. God did not give up on Jonah. God does not give up on us. Perhaps you have run away from God because you didn't want to obey. Maybe you got yourself into a situation that you are so deep into that you don't know how to get yourself out of. Maybe you've been angry with God with the way things have turned in your life, with tragedies or circumstances that you completely despise. You've been angry with God and you're bitter at Him and you maybe it's just deep disappointment. Not with God, perhaps, but maybe with yourself. Shame over a sin that you have committed. Whatever it was, it drove you away from God. And the story of Jonah tells me this, that when we have colossal failures as the people of God, there is a return route. There is a way back, and there is a ticket home. It's not the end of the world. There is a return route. There's a U-turn coming up on the road. As God pursued Jonah across the sea and even into the sea, it was not to destroy him, it was not to punish him, it was to redeem him. And it was to give him a second chance at life, at the mission, at fulfilling what his life was about. God is pursuing you, not to punish you, not to make life miserable for you when you have already failed, but God pursues us in our failures to redeem us. You know, in the Bible, we have many examples of people who to whom God gave second chances. Peter, classic example. Peter who said, "I will die with you, Jesus," when confronted simply by servant girls, said, "Nope, I don't know this man." 3 times, Peter denied Jesus. And this was the thing that caused him to weep bitterly, as the Bible records. And yet, Jesus gives him an opportunity to come back. Saul, or Paul as it would be later called, was hunting down followers of Jesus Christ in order to persecute them and put them away. And Jesus gives him a second chance instead of destroying him for persecuting his people, giving him a chance to himself be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Mark, who bombed out of a mission trip, barely halfway through the mission trip, he goes home. Caused great disappointment with Paul. The next time he was nominated to be considered to be a mission candidate, he says, "No way." Paul didn't give Mark a second chance at that time. But eventually, Mark was given a second chance. Paul says, "He is helpful. He is good." David, we all know his story when he had his affair with Bathsheba, his treacherous affair, in which he killed Bathsheba's husband as well. God restored him. He was given a second chance. Characters in the Bible like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, these all were given second chances. You know, many in the early church, unnamed individuals, all received second chances at life, just like you and I. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And that is what some of you were. These people had failed, disqualified from the kingdom of God. That's what Paul writes. That's what some of you were, disqualified from the kingdom of God. But the second chance but follows. The U-turn but is there. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Whatever we have been through, whatever we've done, there's a U-turn coming up. There is a but that we can take advantage of. God is pursuing us in love to rescue us. If a failure has marked your life to the point where you no longer dare lift your head up high, or you no longer feel comfortable coming before God, God offers you a second chance, a return home to Him, to return you back to His plan for your life. Maybe you gave up on an opportunity to do something, maybe to become a missionary. There was a call for you to become a missionary and you said no. And now years later, He says, Lord, I don't know how to come back to you. God offers you a second chance to return back not only to a life that is fulfilling, but back to the mission that He already had originally given to you. The question is, will you accept it? Will you accept His terms of the second chance? You know, second chances have to be accepted to be good. There's a story set in the 1800s, I think, in the new Americas at that time, brand new country. There was a man by the name of George Wilson who had just robbed the bank and he killed a guard, robbed a train, and he killed a guard in the process. The court convicted him and sentenced him to hang. Now, the American public was against the capital punishment, so they petitioned the president at that time, I think it was Andrew Jackson. He petitioned the president to pardon him, give him a presidential pardon. So Andrew Jackson gave him a presidential pardon. It means he doesn't have to die. But Wilson refused it. Now, this had never happened before. He was given a pardon by the president, and he refused it. So the Supreme Court was asked to help determine what to do with this. Should we hang this guy or not? So the Supreme Court took up the case and deliberated it, and the Chief Justice handed down the court's decision. And this is what he said. The value of a pardon must be determined by the receiver of the pardon. It has no value apart from that which the receiver gives to it. George Wilson has refused to accept the pardon. We cannot conceive why he would do so, but he has. Therefore, George Wilson must die. And so he was hanged. Pardon, declared the Supreme Court, must not only be granted, it must be accepted. God offers us second chances, an opportunity to turn to Him. But for these second chances to have any value at all, it has to be accepted. And the terms of acceptance from reading Jonah chapter 2 and 3 is that submission and obedience. Jonah submitted to God in the belly of the fish, and he was restored to life. Then, being given a second call, he obeyed, and he was restored to his mission. The big idea this morning is that God offers second chances, but you have to accept it on His terms. The second thing out of the story in chapter 3 is that we find that Nineveh repents. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, it simply says, in short, the Ninevites believe God. They believe God. This short sentence of four words summarizes their response to Jonah's five-word sermon, as it were. Well, in Hebrew, it's five words. Now, in this short summary of his sermon, there does not seem to be any call to repentance. In fact, it could sound a little bit like, nah, 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 in 40 days, you are all going to be toast. It could sound like that. But whatever and however Jonah preached, Nineveh got the message. They believed this fishy guy, this bleached white from gastric juice guy, who came from a faraway country, far in the west, speaking of a God they do not know of, but a God who controlled the seas and a God who controlled the fish of the seas. They believe this God. The Ninevites heard and got the message. They were about to be destroyed and they decided they would plead to be spared. They believed the message, but they did something beyond that. It says there, they believed God. You know, the statement, the decree of the king of Nineveh, gives us a little bit of a clue. It says, don't let people or animals, herds and flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. Fast line, in other words. But let people and animals be covered in sackcloth. Very uncomfortable. Let everyone call urgently on God. Be desperate. Let them give up their evil ways and violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Now, these pagans had no knowledge of Yahweh, the God of Israel, of whom Jonah speaks. Yet they believed that Yahweh might be compassionate enough to grant, to spare them. I mean, 40 days is a long time, you know, right? Over 5 weeks. Walking at 5 kilometers a day, which is easy to do, you can get at least 175 kilometers away from Nineveh in 40 days. I think that would be like, get you away from the fire and brimstone, right? But no. They pleaded with God for mercy. And they understood that mercy would only come with their repenting of their wickedness. In the decree it says, let them give up their evil ways and violence. They recognized this is serious. These are serious times. They knew that this was really, really going to be sad. They took on sackcloth to mourn. They prayed desperately, but they also repented in changing their ways. It wasn't just mere lip service. It wasn't just mere sorrowful words and much tears. They were serious about their repentance. They reformed their actions. And chapter 3, verse 10 tells us that they turned from their evil ways. Now, that's an assessment by God, okay? When God says you turned from your ways, means you turned from your ways already, lah. That's God's assessment. They actually did change. You know, sometimes I notice in myself a certain cavalier, casual attitude towards my sin. A casualness that does not translate into a determination to change. Okay, I'll change. You know, that sort of casual. This attitude, you know, that it's not so bad lah. Quite easy to change one lah. It's okay. It doesn't do much harm ma. That my sins are somehow less destructive or can escape God's judgment. When in fact, all sin leads to harm. You know, in the days when we used to do early morning prayer, you know, coming to church at 5 a.m. in the morning, you stop, you go to the lights, you stop at the lights, you look, why am I waiting here? No car lah. Okay lah. Because you think, first of all, so early in the morning ma, no car ma, not going to get into, not going to knock into anybody. Are you go lah? Right? A few more mornings, 5 mornings, you go, oh, you skip the red light. But 5 o'clock running the red light turns into 6 o'clock running the red light, turns into 7 o'clock running the red light, into 2 p.m. running the red light. It becomes a habit that becomes more brazen and consequently more dangerous. It's like that. Could it be a curious click on a web link that leads you into, woo, where everything is virtual? I said, no harm. What harm could it be? It's all virtual. That leads to changes in our attitudes and our behaviors in the real world. Cyber porn may be cyber on your screen, but it leads to real world changes in our attitudes and our behaviors. It becomes real world voyeurism, peeping toms. Becomes real world sexual adventurism. Becomes real world sexual violations and sexual violence. It begins with a click. Harmless? I don't think so. Or it could be how we begin with a little exaggeration in our office expense claims. A few ringgit, yeah, rounding error lah. Round it lah. Round it lah. Ready? Approve for? Oh, okay lah. Round it lah. What? Approve for? Round it up higher. Still approve. a little exaggeration in these things, a little slipping in our integrity leads to greater and greater slips. And it leads to the crime of embezzlement, a loss of a job, a loss of a livelihood, loss perhaps even of freedom. Harmless? I don't think so. Confession without a commitment to repentance is simply self-delusion. We are kidding ourselves. There needs to be a dedication to change. Of course, we rely on the Holy Spirit, but we must set our heart to want to change when we confess. You know, a young man was praying with his pastor at the altar. He had prayed a prayer that the pastor had heard many times. So as he prayed with tears, as he prayed, "Lord, take away these cobwebs in my life." Just as he said this, the pastor interrupted and said, "Lord, kill the spider." Many times we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins, but yet we leave the heart of the temptation intact. We refuse to confront that thing. Kill the spider. The Ninevites prayed for a second chance, knowing they deserved the destruction coming. They begged for a second chance, recognizing it was their sin that was bringing on that destruction. They accepted responsibility. And they recognized that in order to avert that disaster, they had to change. Second chances offered by God are to be accepted in reforming repentance. In repentance that not only is in words, but in behavioral change. In a determination to change by the work of the Spirit. A determination to yield to God about the way we do things. We often talk about the grace of God. The grace of God is second chances. But we cheapen the grace of God when we have no real intention of change. My big idea is this, repeating that God offers second chances, but you have to accept it on His terms. And His terms from this account in Jonah chapter 2 and 3 is that, one, we must submit to God. Two, submission must translate into obedience. There's a story of a little boy who was told by his teacher, "Sit down!" And he sat down angrily, but he muttered under his breath, "I may be sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside." Obedience is outward, but submission is in the heart. So the first condition, the first term of accepting God's second chance is submission. The second term of just accepting God's second chance is obedience. And you might say the third term of accepting God's second chance is an expression of the second in repentance. To obey God in changing away from our sins. Not only in expressing confession, but in actual repentance. And the third thing we see is that God relents. Jonah returns, Nineveh repents, and then God relents. In chapter 3, verse 10, it reads, "When God saw what they did, the Ninevites, and how they turned from their evil ways, He relented and did not bring on them the destruction He had threatened." The Ninevites repented. Sackcloth and ashen and all that. Men and beasts from the lowest to the highest, they all repented. Was God caught by surprise? Was He caught off guard and said, "Oh, I didn't expect this. Now what? Oh, better have counsel. Let's decide what we're going to do after this." God caught off by surprise? You mean He didn't expect them to repent? You know, some people see God as harsh, totally uncompromising. That's not wrong. But like inflexible. No compassion, no leeway in our colloquial, you know, colloquially we say, "God don't give chance." Right? You think God don't give chance one lah? You're going to whack you. Really? Really? God don't give chance? He sends a prophet to warn Nineveh. A reluctant prophet nonetheless, but he sends a prophet to warn them. And the length to which he goes to make sure that this prophet who tries to run away comes to Nineveh shows God's determination to warn Nineveh. Now you ask yourself, what's the point of a warning if it's not to tell you, please don't do this? Because if you continue in this way, you're going to hit into disaster. It's like a road sign. That's a warning. Bendy road coming up. What's the point? So that you don't drive so crazy lah. Don't drive so fast. Right? What's the point of a warning except to tell you, A, you can avert the disaster coming ahead of you. Give you a chance to do something about it. God does not delight in people perishing. I mean, 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that. 2 Peter 3, 9 says, God is not slow. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise. Some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God wants no one to perish, but instead everyone to come to a place of repentance. God intended to save Nineveh. That's why He sent Jonah. So when the people repented, God spared the city. When He saw repentance, and in this case it was genuine repentance, it was not mere words. He saw the repentance of the heart that would lead to reformation of behavior. Some of us have messed up big time. We're in a hole so deep we don't know how to dig our way out of it. We're on a path to destruction. But you may think that you are beyond redemption. You may think that you are too far gone, beyond forgiveness, beyond saving, beyond the reach of God's love and compassion. But everything about the book of Jonah tells about a God who is incredibly compassionate. He offers second chances, third, fourth, second chances, multiple second chances, numerous chances to sinners, big and small like you and I. This very same God who sent Jonah, though reluctant, sent Jonah to Nineveh to warn them, to give them an opportunity to repent, sent Jesus Christ into the world to save sinners because He loved us. He loves us. Jesus was sent into the world by the Father to save us. That's what it reads in 1 John 4. This is how God showed His love among us, that He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus was sent to save us, to give us life, to give us a second chance. Whatever the second chance it is that you need, God is the God of second chances. But you have to accept it on His terms. His terms of submitting and yielding to Him. His terms of obeying Him, listening to what He says and doing it. Of repentance, of turning away from our evil ways. Making a determined effort with the power of the Spirit, yes, to change. God offers us second chances. Someone once said that God will pardon a repentant sinner more quickly than a mother would snatch her child out of the fire. God is not a reluctant, compassionate God. He is a willing, compassionate God. So God offers us second chances, but we must be willing to accept it on His terms. Let's pray. as we bow our heads and close our eyes. Will you take a few moments to ask, what is the Lord saying to you? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? While my brothers and sisters are doing that, I'd like to speak to those who are among us who may not be Christians. And as we're sitting there, you feel, I would love to have a second chance at life. Because things in my life aren't so good. If you want a second chance at life, Jesus offers us that second chance. I, as a recipient of a second chance at that life, can say to you, Jesus is true to His word. So how do you accept that second chance? It's the same. You submit and you obey and you repent. To express that determination to submit, obey, and repent, we use a simple prayer. It has three elements: sorry, thank you, please. Where you say sorry for having lived a life running away from God, ignoring Him, dismissing Him. And then you thank God for making possible through Jesus Christ to return, for you to return to Him. And thirdly, please, we accept a desire to be forgiven and to be accepted by God into His family. Sorry, thank you, please. And right there in your seat, you can do this. I'll share with you a sample prayer. You can follow me as I do this to make it your prayer. This prayer, simple prayer, goes like this. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for the way I have lived my life. I have run away and ignored God. I thank you for coming to rescue me. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your blood and for your sacrifice. Please receive me. I acknowledge you as my Savior and my Master from this point on. Please fill me with your Spirit and make me new. In your name I pray. Amen. Simple prayer, sorry, thank you, please. And if you pray that prayer, you become a child of God. That's what the Bible says. But if you prayed that prayer just now, we would love to have an opportunity to speak to you and just help you out a little bit at the end of the service. But for the rest of us, what is God saying to us as He issues to all of us an offer of a second chance? Maybe you have wandered away from God for a rather long time. And this morning you're here and says, I want to come back. Father, I want to come back. This is your opportunity. Don't run away anymore. Come back to the Father. Maybe there's guilt from something you've done that has kept you away from God. You say, I can't bring myself to face the Father. I can't bring myself to face God. The Father says, come home. Come home. Come home. Maybe your heart has been broken so badly, and so all that you have left are broken pieces of a heart. God offers you a second chance at healing. But you have to submit your broken heart to God.
Maybe it's a second chance in life, in your marriage, that you are pleading with God for. For that second chance. Maybe you need a second chance in parenting as you think about your family. Whatever it is, will you respond? Will you respond like Jonah did? From the depths of his despair, he recognized that God would hear his voice. Will you respond? In a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. The pastors will come up front and they will pray with and for anyone who comes forward. Will you respond to God and accept the second chances? Let's all stand.
Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. Offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life.
I see a man in tears. You are crying at your desk because everything around you is falling apart. And you see one way out and you think that that way out is the only way, which is to end it all. And today you hear there is a God who gives second chances. He is a merciful and compassionate God. There is more than one way. There is a way home. And He offers it to you. There is more than one way. Will you accept God's second chance? If that's you, won't you let God minister to you? Some of you may be already rebuilding your life, but you find the going so hard, so hard. And you want to give up. Let me encourage you, don't give up. Persevere. Come forward, let someone pray with you. You're seizing God as His second chance for your life, but you're finding it really hard. Persist. Let your repentance be long. Let your repentance be in the same direction. Persist. Will you let God minister to you and strengthen you in what you need to do? We're going to sing again, and after that, I'm going to open the area in front for ministry to all areas of need. So we're going to sing, and after that, we're going to close the service, okay? So let's sing again.
1, 2, 3, 4. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my Lord, I offer Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life.
Hallelujah. Here in front remains open for prayer even after the benediction. Okay, so if you whatever needs you might have, seize the opportunity to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that you are present in our midst by your Spirit. Father, we thank you that your posture toward us is that of love and acceptance. Father, we are so grateful to you that we have opportunities to return to you again and again and again. We call it second chances, but it's second chances repeated again. How merciful and gracious and compassionate you are to us all. And so, Father, as we stand as your grateful people, your grateful children, Lord, we pray that we would not become so hard-hearted that we would refuse your second chance, that we would refuse to repent, but cause our hearts to be soft before you. Oh Lord, be merciful toward us, that we would be a repenting people, convicted by your Spirit and receiving your conviction constantly. This is our prayer as your children, O God. And so, Father, this day, as we look into our week, as we go back to our places of work, our study, or our homes, where we hang out with our friends, Lord, may we at those places also recognize your grace with us. So, Father, may your presence go with us into our homes, into our workplaces, into our schools, colleges, and universities, that where we are, your grace is experienced by us and also by others through us because of your presence. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in all our spaces through all our days. Amen. Service is over. But if anyone wants prayer, please come forward. The pastors and leaders will be here to pray for you. But if not, have a great day and a great week. Okay, God bless you. We'll see you here next week.